It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. I apologize. We are having some technical difficulties. I cannot actually get on with my phone, and I'm going to try one more time so I can get my wife her phone back. But, nope, you hear that sound? That's what I get. So I can't get it. So I'm using her phone. I'll have to have our opening and closing prayer, but I need to do something else first because I'm also trying to figure out the Facebook issue. And so I just need to type in on Facebook all of our titles here. Give me just a second. Okay, give me a second. Okay. All right, I think I got it now. Just a second. All right, praise the Lord. So we're going to go ahead and get Facebook on the line so that they can join us, and we should be able to move forward in just a second. All right. Good morning, Facebook family. Thank you for joining us. We're about to have our opening prayer. Opening prayer and opening song at this time. Father, be with us this morning as we worship you on this day. We ask for your spirit to dwell with us. And as we have come to, I believe, this is a new month. Let me just verify that. Yes, the 1st of February. We pray that you'll bless us, Lord, that we will be faithful and that every day we'll keep improving in our character. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, opening song. It's about time.
It's about time for the glory. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ for thee. It's about
it's about
Amen. Our worship this morning, God's character, his law, and his claims. And then we'll be going into wellness with Sister Lenny presenting Breaking Free from Cravings. We're in Exodus chapter 34. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless us as we have our worship. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, hold on a second. All right, friends, we're studying Exodus chapter 34. And come on. And that is in answer to the question that Moses asked, show me thy glory. Remember, God said he would make his, he would pass before him and declare his name. In Exodus chapter 34, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. Now, it wasn't a sin for Moses to break them. That was their covenant with God, his Ten Commandment moral law, the same commandments that say thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, that we shouldn't have other gods. But they had the broken calf, the golden calf, back in Exodus chapter 32. And so in Exodus 33, you might remember God showed that he was outside the camp, showing that sin separates us from God. But he didn't leave them. He didn't just leave them to die in the desert. They were able to repent, and God returned, or God said he would return. So this is part of the returning process. God is giving them two more tables that were broken. Moses broke them because it didn't matter. They had already broken the covenant. That was symbolic of that. But God has, he gave him two other, he told, he had two other, he told Moses to make two other tables sets, or two other tables, yeah, and he would do what he did before and write on them, okay? Let me just move out of the way. Go ahead, please. All right. Okay. And be ready in the morning and come in the morning unto the mount. Hold on a second. That should be morning after this. Okay, no problem. Just go ahead. You don't have to use it. You're good. All right. We're getting ready also for some guests coming, brothers and sisters. So lots going on this morning. And be ready in the morning and come in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now remember when he asked him in the previous chapter, show me thy glory, God said, okay, I will proclaim my name. But then he told him, you're going to be able to see only my back parts, right? So he makes that proclamation, and notice what he proclaimed. He says he proclaimed the name of the Lord. So you would think, okay, he probably said Jehovah. No, that's not what it says. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Now I'm going to hold up 10 fingers because he proclaimed 10 things. The Lord God. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant, that's number four, in goodness, and truth, number 5. Keeping mercy for thousands, number 6. Forgiving iniquity, number 7. And transgression, number 8. And sin, number 9. And then it says, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. That's 10. Friends, God's character is 9/10 mercy. But if we reject the mercy, the only thing left is justice. Okay? So God is full of mercy. And that's why people who are not full of mercy are not going to go to heaven, even if they think they're righteous. If you are not full of mercy, just like God, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. We cut each other off, won't talk to people, marginalize people, don't want to have people in our lives, and we don't have a godly reason, you know, for it. It's our pride that is keeping us in those ways. And some of us are preachers. Some of us are deacons, elders, we've been in church, think we're going to heaven, dress right, eat right, and we have issues with people because we don't have a concept of God's character. We've got to be like Jesus, my friend, not just all anywhere. It says, that song says, be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. So whether you're at home or whether you're out and about with other people, you've got to be, like Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches, my friend. And if we don't have God's character, which is 9/10 mercy, but not removing righteousness, truth, and justice, we're not going to make it into the kingdom. Okay, it says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, and now if I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. So in other words, God hadn't fully returned with the tabernacle back into the camp yet. Okay, so Moses is like, come on, God, you know, you're merciful, gracious. If you're like this, you need to come on back in. So that you're in the midst of us and not outside of us. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels. So this is God saying yes to him. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I will drive out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. So in other words, we want God to do stuff for us, drive out all these people that would kill us and all these circumstances, but we don't want to make a commitment to him. So we want to wear his name, but we want to live in shame. We want to be seen, but we don't want to be clean. You follow what I'm saying? Some want bright mansions, but they won't pay the cost. They want the crown, but they won't bear the cross. So that's not fair, friends. God has claims on us. His claim is his law. He wants obedience because that's our fitness for heaven. He can't bring us up there and we start this sin thing all over again. So this time on earth is to prepare us for heaven. He's getting sin out of our lives. And so those who don't want to get sin out of their lives, it hurts him because he can't be with us because he's sinless, but he put the plan of redemption in place so that we could have a relationship with him. Reading on, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. So we're going to make a covenant with somebody. It's either with the devil or with the Lord. And you don't have to make an actual agreement with the devil to be in covenant with the devil. If we're not in covenant with Christ, friends, and we have not surrendered our heart to God, you're in covenant with the devil. So God is trying to tell them, don't be in covenant with the devil because it's not going to go well for you. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods and do sacrifices unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons. So that means even if we're in connection with God, even in our marriages, we would marry those who are godly as well. All right? And it says, because it says, thou shalt, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. That's why it's important that who you marry is connected to God, because they will tend to lead you whichever way they go. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee, in the time of the month Abib, for in the month Abib thou camest out of Egypt, and all that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling of the cattle, whether ox, sheep, that is male, but the firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, thou shalt break his neck, and the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day shalt thou rest, in earing time, and in harvest thou shalt rest, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first of weeks harvest, of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at year's end. Thrice in a year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the Lord, the God of Israel. So basically, they had to go before God in three different feasts. The first one was the Passover time, and that was then connected with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the second was the Feast of Harvest. I believe that would be the same as Pentecost. And then the third was the Feast of Ingathering. That represents the cross, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the second coming of Christ. Now, because those are shadows of things to come, because they were pointing forward to things. Jesus hadn't died yet. Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out on Pentecost yet. Jesus still hasn't come yet. Okay? Because they were future, those are not required today, according to Colossians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 2. Those things were nailed to the cross. They have wonderful significance. We study them. We look at them. But the bottom line is we're not required to keep them, because they point forward to Christ. And now that Christ has come, he already died on Calvary. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. You follow what I'm saying? Of course, Jesus hasn't come yet, but it's still shadows of things to come. See, once Jesus died on Calvary, that is the assurance that that's the assurance that everything else that God said he was going to do through Christ is going to happen, because Satan lost. His battle was lost. He's just now fighting what in military terms is called a delaying action. So he knows he's lost, so he's trying to set all the booby traps and take as many down with him as he can, but he knows he's lost. So now that has happened, but the Ten Commandments were separate. They were engraved by God. The other writings were put in Moses' book. We already showed you, not in today's lesson, but in another lesson, there were two separate documents. One was inside the ark, and one was in a side pocket of the ark. That's just a point I want to share with you. So, verse 24, for I will cast out of the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in a year. So in other words, they might be concerned about going, but see, God said, no, I'll protect your land when you come up. I'm going to make sure they don't even have a desire for it when you're feasting before me. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Leaven is a symbol of sin in this situation. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until the morning. That showed that, Jesus was to die on Calvary that night, and then they weren't supposed to eat again because he didn't have to die again. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. So there's going to be several scriptures where God says, I want the first of this and I want the first of that. It shows that we should put God first. These are symbols to them to show the Christian walk. We should put God first, give God our best. Even when we tithe or when we make money, we pull aside the tithe. And it should go to a holy purpose, not just an organization. It should go to a holy purpose. It should go to where the gospel is being preached and where people are being taught the truth and people being truly ministered to, not where people are neglected and people are left to die or lose their jobs because of compromise and an organization getting some billions of dollars for their hospital, and therefore they don't want to teach the health message because they would lose that money. Friends, that's total compromise, and we should not support that. You have to do what God tells you to do, but I am telling you what God said. He said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. What is meat? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So those who are doing God's work, my friend, teaching the truth, living the truth, ministering to people, that is tithe worthy. And, you know, everybody has to be persuaded in their own mind. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Listen to this. And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Friend, I'm here to tell you, when you spend time with God, you do have a glow. You just actually physically look different. You actually physically look like there's a vibrancy. It doesn't matter how young, how old, you have a glow of on you. And even if it doesn't look today so much like a glow of real light, it's still a glow. You can tell when a person has been with Jesus. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. You know, when you spend time with God, friends, that's food. That's water. And I'm not suggesting that you not drink water or never eat for 40 days. That's between you and God. I'm saying when God called Moses to do it, that's what he did. And so it does show that God can sustain us in any situation. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with them. Beautiful concept. So God's character is 9/10 mercy, but he is just. He is righteous. He's not going to let sin slide. He just forgives repentant sin, and then he gives you victory. If you don't want that victory, if you don't work it the way he wants to work it, then he has to depart from you. Sin separates us from God. That's what this story told us. God has a law. He requires obedience to the Ten Commandments. Before Jesus came, they were also to keep certain aspects of Moses' law that pointed forward to Christ coming. All of Moses' law wasn't done away with at the cross, only the shadow of things to come. It is in Moses' law that we know that God requires Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And there are other things that we often do today that are in Moses' law, and we wouldn't do away with those wonderful principles. But you'll find them in the writings of Moses that God gave him. But the ones that pointed forward to Christ's ministry, those symbols are not, we're told, are not required upon us at this time. But that is not the weekly Sabbath, which points backward. Those were ceremonial Sabbaths. They pointed forward. The Bible says the ones that were done away with were the ones that were shadows of things to come, Colossians chapter 2, around verse 14, 15. But the weekly Sabbath preceded all sin. There was no sin when God made the Sabbath. And so it was beautiful. All right, friends, God is good. God's claim is that he wants us to have a full surrender and put him first. So God's character, God's law, and God's claim. Stay tuned. After our intermission, we will hear from Sister Lenny as she talks to us about breaking free from cravings. And so at this time, brothers and sisters, we will just go ahead and pray, take a break, and come back with our health message in a little while. Thank you, Lord, for this worship message. We thank you for your kindness and grace, and we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, God is good. We are going to now go to our wellness segment of our broadcast. That is the torso, is introduced by the torso song. And we'll play that intermission song at this time.
Break every chain, your addiction can disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
I'm sorry you didn't hear me. I was muted. We're about to hear from Sister Lenny at this time. Go ahead, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Thank God for waking us this morning. Breaking free from cravings. If the occasional taste of sugar or chocolate is really not a big part of your life, there is no need to worry about it. But if your waistline is expanding before your very eyes, or your health is suffering from your food habits, then it's time to wake up and smell the addiction. What do you do if you're hooked? Avoid teasing yourself with unhealthy foods. Set them aside. Do not keep them in the house. Do not buy them. Don't worry if you'll return to them. Just leave them alone. Craving foods fade away the longer you are away from them. Eat a healthy breakfast. Don't skip meals. Cravings kick in when you are hungry. Get regular exercise, enough sleep, enough rest. Cravings are stronger when you are not sleeping well. Avoid situations that trigger cravings. Identify your triggers and eliminate them as much as possible. There is also a genetic influence on cravings. Cravings can affect anyone. Some people are born with fewer receptors for dopamine than the brain, which is the brain chemical responsible for the pleasurable feelings. This leaves them feeling out of sorts compared to other people. As a result, they are drawn to alcohol and drugs and caffeine, sugar, tobacco, and even gambling. This morning, this is coming from Reversing Diabetes, page 130 to 131. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Amen. Praise God. You know, cravings are a big problem, friends. We all have probably had some craving at some point in our lives, and that was timely counsel. So it's such a blessing to know that God can give us victory. Nothing has to chain you down. We appreciate that so much. All righty. We're going to go to roll call now. We have representation on Facebook that I can see. from Indiana. There may be another. Also, we have representation from Oklahoma. I didn't mean Oklahoma, although Oklahoma might be there. No, I meant to say Ohio. And then we have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware again. We have Missouri. We have South Carolina. We have New Jersey. We have Ohio again. We have Georgia. And we're your servants here in Pennsylvania. If there is anyone that would like to share anything, and we do have Sister Desiree on the line. If there is anyone else, just go ahead and press star 6. We've got about 19 minutes to the top of the hour in time to engage with you. Good morning, Sister.
Hi, good morning. It mentioned in the scripture, I had two-part question in the chapter 34 where it said, in gathering. I never really understood that. I would hear it throughout the years. Can you do they still do that in the church? And really, what is it and what is it about?
Okay. So the word ingathering comes from the Bible. And in the Bible, it was a feast of ingathering. And they would bring in the fruits from that harvest. And it was the second harvest of the year, where the first harvest was the feast of harvest. And that represented God, you know, Pentecost. The second harvest represented the people ready for Jesus to come. So it represents the second coming of Christ. Okay, that term, what you're referring to, has been used in church fundraising, and there's nothing wrong with that. They just call it ingathering, and they go out passing out literature and raising funds for purposes usually that relate to people that are less fortunate. So that's what I recall. They may have changed, but when I grew up, they were, usually raising money and giving out tracts, asking people to help with some kind of project or fund that would help the poor or something of that nature. So that's what it is. It just borrowed from the ingathering of the Bible, but they would use it as a fundraiser to raise money for some good cause. So I don't have anything in God's word that would say that's a bad thing to do, but that's where that came from. So the word ingathering really was a feast originally in the Bible, representing one of the last feasts of the year, symbolizing the second coming of Christ.
Okay. And you were saying the other question I had, you were talking about, were you saying mercy and that God is, what, 80-90% merciful?
Yeah.
But sometimes you have experiences, rather be with your own family, children, your own kin, let's say your sons, daughters, or especially those even within the fellowship. But it says something about guarding your heart. How do you do that without sinning? Because at some point, sometimes you can become hardened. I'm just saying you have forgiveness. But you were saying that having mercy, how long? Because sometimes you're forgiven. I'm trying to equate that with, how do you protect your heart without being sinful?
So you're referring to where people have done us wrong and what our reaction is. When we have Christ in our hearts, he will help us to not be overly sensitive. We would be more concerned about how things hurt God than how they hurt us. Okay, so you have examples of Jesus on the cross. He said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Now, God can't forgive if we don't repent, but the heart of Jesus was not a heart where he harbored bitterness against even those who persecuted him. He wanted them to be forgiven, but of course they would still have to take the step and repent. The same is the spirit that you see in Stephen when he was stoned. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, God was going to lay it to their charge because all sins are laid to our charge unless we repent and the blood covers us. But it was his desire that they repent. It was his desire, and he was the one being persecuted. So the closer we get to God, the less sensitive we will be because we recognize that we are children of a king. We're sons and daughters of God. And therefore, this is all about not what people made me look like or said to me or whatever. It's about God being honored. And as we grow in our relationship with God, he helps us focus more on his honor, more so than our own. As it relates to mercy, that doesn't mean that you just let somebody punch you and be a punching bag. If you can get out of there, you get out of there. But the same thing, at the same time, we should be willing to have mercy. And that doesn't mean that because you have mercy, their person is forgiven. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences. It's just like with us. God forgives us, but there are consequences. The children of Israel were forgiven for the golden calf when they repented, but there were consequences that God separated himself and the whole tabernacle moved outside the camp. And it was a process getting that tabernacle back in. That's what we've been reading from Exodus chapter 33 and chapter 34. Moses is going before the Lord, and God is showing us his character because he's so kind, and he's like Moses is like a friend to him. He's revealing through that relationship how close he wants to be to each of us. Moses didn't have anything on any of us. All of us can be just as close to God as was Moses. Now, that doesn't mean that we will see his backside because it's not for us to do. But the point being made is we can have fellowship with God just like Moses did if we put the time in as Moses did. Moses turned his back on worldly things and he spent time with God. That was his greatest joy, was to be in communion with God. Enoch the same, Elijah the same, Jesus the same, Paul the same, you see? And there's no God is no respecter of persons. So we can all have a close walk with God if we choose to.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? And if you have any questions for Sister Lenny, I'll get her mic'd up again. So just let us know if you have any comments or questions. Well, friends, we've gotten through January by the grace of God. We pray that we are solid in our commitment for this new year. Sometimes the devil tries to get us, and if we haven't been, that's all right. We're in February, so today is a new day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are not going to pity about things we didn't accomplish. We're just going to, if we've sinned, we ask God to forgive us. We commit ourselves to being closer to him than we were, and we move forward. Let's accomplish things for Jesus in February that we didn't do in January by the grace of God. Let's go to heights of blessing, of character, by spending time with God that we did in, let's do that in February, that which we didn't do in January. Praise God. All right, friends, let me just see if there is anyone else. Yes, there is. Our dear sister is back. We'll go ahead and get her comment or question at this time. All right, sis.
Sister Lenny wanted to ask, my cravings are, I thought about emotional eating, and you saying figure out your triggers, and then you were saying, I notice sometimes my craving, even though I go all day, it can be in the evening, which is not so good because it's too late, too close to bedtime. How does one really, is there something herbal that we should do possibly, or you could go back to that again. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I find that you can drink a lot of water. That will help a lot. A lot of people I know talk to me about cravings and things like that. A lot of times they're lonely, you know. But I do know that water, especially lemon water, really helps with cravings. And a lot of the herbal teas, like chamomile, you know, teas like that, you can have those teas.
And I want to add one. If you aren't diabetic, or your diabetes is under control, licorice, I'm not talking about the Twizzlers, I'm talking about the herb. And we also have, I'm pretty sure that herb is in our, we have an addiction herbal extract, and it has some herbs that just kind of help with cravings. I believe licorice is in it, I'm not sure, but it does have herbs that help with craving, but that herb particularly comes to mind. So I just wanted to mention that. And by the way, our herbal extracts are still on sale. We've extended the sale. So they used to be $25 for a month's supply. It's now $20, and that is with free shipping. So definitely take a trip, friends, over to the Torso store and look for an herbal extract that may be helpful to you. For the subject matter we're talking about, we would recommend the Addictions Herbal Extract. Okay, so that's just something there. Anything else, Sister Desiree?
No, thank you. That answer, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Let's keep one another in prayer, brothers and sisters. We all have something that tempts us, and so we want to pray for one another that we all be stronger in the Lord and that the Lord will be honored. He is stronger than the devil. God's power is much greater than your craving, and we just need to surrender and fight. Sometimes we just give in. But no, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, it says in James. All right, friends, it's time for our closing prayer, and we'll go ahead and pray at this time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love for us, for your mercy and kindness. And I pray that you would bless us, Lord, with all the blessings that only heaven can bestow. We pray for our dear sister who has struggles with cravings. And we pray also that you will give her the secret of communion with you and give her power so that whatever she's dealing with, even if it's relationships, as people in this world will do us wrong, that we will have the mindset that we won't get offended only when something offends God. We ask that you would bless us all, Lord, that we will be faithful and that you will keep us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us because we were having some trouble even on this broadcast getting started. In Jesus' name, amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. In the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you. All right, friends, it's time for our closing song. Our closing song will be "I Will Trust in the Lord," and we'll hear that from the Master's Chorale at this time.